Today we're going to be talking about help me, Lord. Our Lord has more help than you have needs. And we all have needs, every single one of us. Sometimes the needs are small and don't seem that significant. Sometimes those needs just about do us in. The burden we carry is so heavy that it's about to crush us. Today I want to give you the solution for that, because the Lord gives the solution in His Word. We're going to read Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. So if you'll stand, we'll honor God's Word as we read His Word together. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Father, give us complete confidence in your word today, that we might have complete confidence in this life, that through you we are more than able to be conquerors. Father, you didn't send us here just to be here. You sent us here to conquer for you, to win the war between good and evil, to spread the good news that there's hope in this life and greater hope in the next. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to tell you a little story. This is back when the coronavirus first started, the pandemic. There was a man named Lane McKeel. He was a senior adult, and he didn't go out of his house hardly at all, because the warning was, you go out of the house, you could get COVID-19. Whenever he went out, he covered his face, but finally he was not only an adult senior, but he also had a disability, but his check came, disability check. He lived in Georgetown, Tennessee, and he'd been shut in for a couple weeks, and he needed groceries badly. So he put on his mask and out he went. He went through the store, picked up all the things he needed to last him another couple weeks so he didn't have to go out again. When he got up to the checkup counter, the bill came to $173. He looked at his money, he had $140. Older people get very embarrassed when they don't have enough to pay their bills. Lane took some of the groceries, was going to put them back on the shelf, and the young checkout girl, 17-year-old girl, said, "Sir, don't do that. I've got enough money to pay your bill." That young lady's name, iconically, was Elizabeth Taylor. She wasn't Elizabeth Taylor, but she was named after Elizabeth Taylor. Her parents' name was Taylor, and they just named her Elizabeth. But she paid the bill. And afterwards, they asked the 17-year-old girl, "Why did you do that?" She said, "It's all essential stuff that he had. It wasn't wasted stuff. He needed that to live by." She said, "I have plenty. The Lord's blessed, and I want to share with others." Folks, that's why we're here. We're here to make a difference. We're here to show Christ's love to others. Life at times finds all of us a little bit short. We don't have enough energy. I used to have tons of energy, but I don't have that anymore. I used to love to fix roofs and help people shingle their houses. I don't go on roofs anymore. Why? Because this old body doesn't have a sense of balance anymore. If I go up on a roof, I'm going to fall off the roof. I almost can guarantee it. It doesn't have to be very steep anymore. Sooner or later in your life and in my life, we're going to come to things that we just can't do. We're going to need help. Help from somebody, and especially help from the Lord. Many of the Psalms are written about our pilgrimage. We're here on this earth. The Bible says 70 years, or 80 years, if by strength that's 80 years. We're here for 70, 80, maybe 90, some people 100. But sooner or later, our life gives out. During those years we're here, the Lord has given us beautiful psalms to help us through this life. Psalm 121, you can almost hear the psalmist crying out, Lord, I don't have the strength to do what you're asking me to do. I can't do this alone. Folks, sooner or later, you're going to come to some points in life that you can't do it alone. We heard Bev this morning talking about Tim, who had his knee surgery. She said, he's got to get home pretty quick. I can't run this place alone. Folks, that's true, isn't it? We all need each other. That's why the Lord put us into families, so that we can support each other. The things I can't do anymore, guess who does it? I call Joel or his boys, or Amy and those boys, and they do it, because I can't. You do what you can, but sooner or later you're going to say, there's things that I can't do alone. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are things in this life nobody can do alone, and that's why the Lord is there. He's there not just some of the time when you need him. He's there all the time when you need him. And he's promised to supply all your needs. Folks, now he didn't say all your wants. Let me rephrase that, because some people say, well, then I want that Cadillac I've always wanted. Well, that's not quite what he's saying. But all your needs he's promised to supply. Psalm 121, just 8 verses long, and the psalmist helps us at every point along the journey, through good times as well as bad times, to know where to look for help when nobody else can help. There are times your sons and daughters can't help you either, and nobody else on this earth can help you at times. You need to have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, because he can always see you, he can always help you. In spite of the obstacles our Lord allows in our lives, and everybody here, there's no little teeny children here, you've seen some of those obstacles in life that the Lord has at least allowed into your life. And a lot of times we make a serious mistake here. We think when something goes wrong in our lives that wasn't according to our plan, that God somehow isn't with us right now. God's not blessing us right now. I hope you know the Lord well enough to know that in the good times and the bad times, he's there for you. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Everyone. There are going to be some trials and troubles allowed into your life and mine to help to refine us. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. How do you think you're going to learn obedience? By the things we suffer often in life. The good times don't make me nearly the Christian that the bad times of life have instructed me in. We need to understand this, because oftentimes we think God's against us when things go wrong. God is not against us. God is for all of his children. Psalm 121 is part of what's called the Psalms of Ascent. There are 15 psalms that the children of Israel sang over and over as they would come all over Israel. In Sunday school, we talked about the three feasts every year that the children of Israel had to go from their neighborhoods, wherever they lived in Israel, they would go up to Jerusalem, because when you come into that valley around Jerusalem, you go up to the temple. They would travel that direction, and those 15 psalms were psalms that they sang as they ascended up to Jerusalem. And the 121st psalm that we're talking about today is one of those psalms of ascent. As the travelers walked up that natural incline uphill, the trek to Jerusalem, they would sing another one of those joyful songs, those 15 psalms of ascent to the Lord. Those ancient psalms are metaphors to us today about the fact that the Lord is still busy in the life of every one of his children, supplying every need you're ever going to have. He's there for you in the good times and the bad times, so that Psalms help take us from the lowland of life, because sometimes, boy, Lord, life gets pretty low, doesn't it? It gets very difficult. He'll take us from those lowlands up to the high ground. So the Bible never lies to us about the fact that this life is difficult. This life is difficult on purpose. You have to go all the way back to creation to understand why is there so much trouble in this world. I hear people all the time say, if God's so loving, why did he create a world where there was no trouble, no death, no dying, and no sickness? Well, the truth of the matter is God did create a world like that. Before sin entered this world, there was no sickness, there was no death, there was no crime, there was nothing. There was just love for God and service for God. That was it. But it didn't take very long for people to sin, and the Lord said, because of that, he cursed this earth. Not just mankind, but all the animals, all the trees, everything dies now over time. Everything that has life loses life. That's just the way life is now, because of mankind's sin against God. Folks, Jesus didn't hide the fact that in this life, you and I are going to have lots of trouble. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And if you have received Jesus Christ, you are in Christ. You are also going to overcome this world. There's going to be a time, not the too distant future, that Jerry Larkin is never going to have any trouble ever again for all eternity. And if you've received Christ as your Savior, the same thing is true for you. Yes, I'm going to have trouble for, if the Lord allows, 10 or 15 or 20 years, but then this earth is going to be left behind, and I'm going home. Folks, in that meantime, when the trouble comes, the Lord wants you to take heart. He doesn't want you shaken by the trouble. He wants to refine you in the trouble. The psalmist says in Psalm 121, verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? The mountains are hard to climb. When I and Mimi went down to Tennessee, not this time, but on a lot of our vacations before she got sick, we used to love to climb up into the mountains in the Smoky Mountain area and watch the waterfalls. We were both young when we started going there. We had plenty of strength. We could just zip up those mountains. There was no problem at all. But after Mimi's stroke, guess what? We don't go up the mountainsides anymore. When we went the last time, we went just a little ways and we had to sit down, and that was the end of that. I don't know if she's going to regain enough strength to ever do it again, but in those mountains, watching those waterfalls, just sitting there in the beauty of it all, it seems like the Lord is so close. It's hard to get to that point, but what a blessing it is when you get there. And what the Lord wants us to understand, those mountains are troubles in life. What he wants you to do is look past those mountains and keep your eye on him. He's the one that will help you climb those mountains. The mountains are where God blesses at oftentimes in life. Yes, it's hard to get there, but as we keep our eyes on Christ, the journey is easier. He'll help us along the way. So we think of the dust and the heat of the trip across Israel, because a lot of it is dusty, hot area. They kept singing these songs and got the help of the Lord. When we think of mountains in the Bible, I want you to think of just a few of the great ones. The sacrifice of Isaac on Mount Moriah. It seemed like such a terrible thing. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son. But when they got to the mountain, and Abraham was just about to slay Isaac, what happened? The angel of the Lord spoke up and said, don't slay the child. And the Lord supplied a ram. You think about the giving of the law on Mount Sinai and the fire and the fear in the people's hearts. But it's a mountaintop experience. The transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ as the apostles watched him be transformed. You think about the message Jesus gave on Mount Olive, the first sermon that he preached. Elijah's prophetic showdown on Mount Carmel. And you could go on and all the different things, and especially Mount Calvary, where our Lord Jesus Christ died. Folks, getting to those places of great blessing, you often have to go through great trials. And so what I want to talk to you about today is that God will be with you through all the trials of life, and he'll transform those trials to blessings as we trust him. In Isaiah 55, verse 12, it says, "We will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." Psalm 125, verse 1. "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore." And then back to our psalm for today, Psalm 121, verse 1. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" He asked a great question. Where does my help come from? Folks, where does your primary help in life come from? Are you looking to President Trump to solve all your problems? All those college kids that were looking to President Biden to pay off all their college loans, how'd that work out? Not very well. Not very well at all. Folks, the president can't do it. I don't care if he's Democrat or Republican. The Senate can't do it. The Supreme Court can't do it. If you're ever going to have your problems solved, you need to go to the Lord. He's the only one that can work your problem for your good. And he's promised to do that. We talk to ourselves, where does my help come from? Sometimes self-talk is the best talk. I'll hear Mimi talking to herself, and I say, "Are you talking to yourself again?" She says, "Yes, it's the only intelligent conversation I get around here." I said, "Wait a minute." Our help comes from the Lord. In Psalm 121, verse 2, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." How do you think David slayed Goliath? Do you think David was strong enough to slay Goliath on his own? Come on. He's just a young man. He's not filled out yet. Saul said, "Here, put on my armor." And so David could hardly walk in it. It was so heavy. God helped David. God wants to help you through the trials and the troubles of this life. God is our help. He is our stay. He's the one that gives us hope in every situation of life. I got to tell you, there's times in life when it seems pretty helpless. There's no hope, there's no help, but when we turn back to the Lord, we get the help that we need. The idea of being loved and guided through the troubles of this life is an idea that goes back to the fact, who is our help? God is our help, the Lord. He's the creator. And I want to read you three verses, and I want you to catch one phrase in all three. Psalm 115, verse 15. "May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Psalm 134, verse 3. "May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth." And Psalm 146, verse 5. "Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever." Why should we put our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he is the maker of heaven and earth. Everything you see, everything you touch, everything you're ever going to do was created by him. Folks, if he can create the heavens and the earth, he keeps the stars in place, He keeps this planet that we're sitting on right now. You think you're sitting pretty still right now, but you're not. We are rotating 1,000 miles an hour as we're sitting here right now. This Earth is rotating around an axis 1,000 miles an hour. As you're sitting here right now, this Earth is traveling around the sun at 1,000,000 miles an hour. Do you feel in charge? I'm glad I've got the maker of heaven and earth. He holds it all together. I don't have to worry about a satellite hitting this earth. I don't have to worry about an atomic war. I don't have to be worried about anything because my helper is the maker of heaven and earth. He's not only loving and caring, he can handle any problem you and I have. Folks, he's more than able. So the promise is the maker of heaven and earth is our help. Nothing's too hard for us. It doesn't mean you're in control of everything, but it means God is. Nothing can touch your life or my life unless it comes through our Father's hand. I love my kids. I love all four of my kids. I love my grandkids. Nothing's going to touch them when I'm around that's going to hurt them unless I think it's for their good. Nothing. Why? Because I love them. Do you think God loves you less than I love my kids? He loves you with an everlasting love. He's not going to let anything touch you unless he's going to work that thing for your good. There are times I have allowed people to hurt my children. I knew they were going to cry. When I took them for their first shots, I knew it was going to hurt because it hurt me. But it was for their good. And the Lord is the same way with us. He won't allow anything to touch you unless it's for your good. Colossians 1 verse 16 tells us not only is God creator, he's the sustainer. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And you're thinking that talks about God the Father. If you want to do an interesting study, read Colossians 1 today and see who that's talking about. That's talking about Jesus Christ. You'll see it very clearly in the context of that chapter. Jesus Christ is your creator, he is your God, and he died for you. The Bible says if he loved you enough to die for you, won't he also give you everything you need? And the only obvious answer is yes. If I was willing to die for you, man, I'd do anything for you. God's promised to help us for our journey. The psalmist says the one who helps him is none other than the Lord God himself. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're related the same way the psalmist was. In Psalm 121, verse 3, we switch from my God, now he's talking about you. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. I mentioned I'd never let anything hurt my kids or grandkids or great-grandkids now if I'm there. But there's times I'm not there. I can't be with my great-grandkids every minute of every day. I can't even be with my own kids every minute of any day now. But God is. He's there all the time. Do you know the very hairs on your head are numbered? Now, I figure I'm doing God a favor. Some of you guys and some of you gals, you're putting through an awful lot of work. He doesn't have to count very high for me. But the interesting thing is, he knows the number of hairs on your head every second. Do you know that changes every day? The average man loses 100 hairs a day, and the average woman the same. We lose them, and then they regrow, and then we lose them, and they regrow. When I used to brush my hair, when I was 25, a huge number of hairs came out. Boy, Lord, I hope you're counting these. But he will never slumber. He's always there watching over you. It's so important for us to understand that. In Matthew 10, verse 30, it says very clearly, Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. We think when we get into trouble, God doesn't know what's going on, or he would surely never have allowed this. It's the greatest mistake you can make. When you get into lots of trouble, you need to feel the Lord's presence. You need to know that he cares. You need to know that his heart's breaking for you. Because if you don't, instead of getting better through your problem, you're going to get bitter. Life can do two things to you. It can either make you better or it can make you bitter. If you think God's against you or God's just totally forgotten about you, you're going to get bitter with the troubles of life. But if you realize God is right there with you, going through the trial, feeling your pain, more than able to supply your need, you're going to go through the trials of life with hope. And hope in life makes all the difference. You need to maintain hope. Because when you lose that, you're going to lose your faith. You're not going to lose the relationship because he's coming after you. But you're going to put yourself through a terrible time that you don't need to go into. In Psalm 121, verse 3 now, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. It's wonderful to know that the one who knows what's best is the all-powerful God of heaven and earth. He's watching you every minute. As you continue to trust in him, you're going to have trouble. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. But he didn't stop there. He said, take heart. I will overcome the world. And in Christ, we are going to overcome this world too. Not without pain, but we are overcoming. Our Lord promised to never allow anything to touch you, if you're his child, that's not for your good. That's a wonderful promise. In Psalm 121, verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord watches over his children, and he works even the hard things of life for your good. Romans 8:28, if you don't know this verse by memory, it's one you really ought to hide away in your heart. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So if you want everything in your life to work for your good, there are two things you must do. Number one, we know that God works all things for the good of those who love him. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? If you do, this is a promise for you. And those who've been called according to his purpose. That's where it breaks down for so many people. Lord, I've got this dream. I want you to fulfill it. This is what I want. What did Jesus say? Unless you die to yourself, you can't be my disciple. Whose desire has to come first? Every decision you make in life, you have to keep in mind, Lord, I'm your servant. You're in charge. You're Lord. I'm not. You tell me what you want. Folks, we make a huge mistake when we start to set out our dreams, our plans, our will, and we just disregard what God wants. God has a plan. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. And then verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God planned in advance for us to do. Folks, God has a plan for your life. Wouldn't it be wise as a Christian, no matter how old you are, to say, Lord, what would you have me do? Because then you're right in line for God to work everything that happens in life for your good. Folks, it's such a blessing to know that God loves us. Our Lord protects us both by day and by night. Psalm 121, verse 6 again. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. You know, when the children of Israel would walk up to Israel, they loved it when they would hit the shade. because it was much like it was when we were down in Missouri last week. It was 100 degrees every day, 97, 98, 100, high humidity. Man, when you hit the shade, it was 20 degrees cooler than in the sun. The children of Israel loved it that the Lord would provide the shade with the mountains as they were going up. But what about the moon? Isn't it interesting? He says, the moon won't harm you either. Whoever gets harmed by the moon? Well, when this Bible was written years ago, they had a term that they used that was moonstruck. Today we would call it insane or a seizure or whatever you might call it. But back then it was moonstruck. And that psalm being written, a lot of superstitions, old ones, were that the moon affected your moods. And we say, well, we're way beyond that. We're intelligent people. We don't talk like that anymore. In Matthew 17, verse 14, this is in Jesus' lifetime. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. The word seizures there, in many translations of the Bible, is moonstruck. And again, we say, well, we're way beyond that. Have you ever heard the term we often use for somebody that's insane? We say they're a lunatic. Do you know where the word lunatic comes from? Luna is moon. Folks, we still believe the moon affects moods. And I don't know if it does or not. But the idea here is the Lord protects us in the day and in the night. A lot of people fear going to bed at night because somebody could break in and I'm not going to be awake. The Lord's watching over you. Nobody's going to break into your house unless the Lord allows it. And if he allows it, it's for your good. So when you go to bed at night, you can rest. The Lord's watching. I'm not awake. I can't protect Mimi if somebody breaks in the night and sneaks in. I can't protect her. I don't have my gun ready and cocked, but I have a Lord that's watching. I don't worry about it. Is it possible somebody could? Yes, the Lord could allow that. But if he allows it, it's for my good, and the Lord will make the best of it. That way I have hope, I can rest. I don't have to watch every minute because I have a Lord that's watching over me. In Psalm 121, verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. The Lord will keep you from all harm. Well, what about if a thief breaks in the night and shoots my wife? Isn't that harm? No. God meant it for good. God has a reason. There's going to come a time, regardless whether it's 10 years or 20 years, when Mimi's going to die anyhow. If the Lord decides, for some reason known to him, not known to me, that she ought to go sooner, I have a hope that the Lord meant it for good. I have a hope that she's in heaven with the Lord, and I can go on. Will I miss her? Oh, man, you better believe I'm going to miss her, just like Bev said about Tim. It's time for him to get home. I can't do this alone. And it's wonderful. We need each other. But we have the Lord beyond all of that. When one of us goes, the other's going to go on for a while, and then we're going to be reunited. Frankie in Sunday school mentioned seeing an old friend at the funeral of another old friend, and how wonderful that was, how much like heaven. When we get home to heaven, you're going to see your grandpas and grandmas again that you haven't seen in years. You're going to see brothers and sisters that passed this life already. Folks, it's wonderful what's coming. I love the promise of Psalm 121, verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. Our Lord loves us. How do we get him as our Lord? In John 3:16, one of the greatest promises given in the Word of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Have you come to that point in your life yet? where you have personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. When you confess Him as Lord, you're saying He is God. When you confess Him as your Savior, you're saying, I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did, not because of what I've done. I'm not working my way there. It's not by works, so no man can boast. Our Lord wants you to know that He supplied everything you need. I want you to imagine just for a minute that you've got a very devout Jewish friend, a fellow that lives just a couple doors from your house, and you're going over to visit him. And as you come through his front door, you're going to see a little metal box on the front door on the outside. As soon as you enter through that front door, you turn to the right, and you're going to see a little metal box on the inside of the house. And you're probably going to wonder, what is that? That is called the mezuzah. And in that box, your friend will have Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 11 recorded. I want to read to you why he records that and why he touches that box every time he goes in and every time he comes out. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, fix these words of mine in your hearts and your minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. He would have that there, and as he would touch the box, he would say a few of the words of those verses, and then he would say, the Lord keep you both now and forevermore. Why? Because God wants us to remember, coming in and going out of our houses, the relationship. The Lord doesn't want you to go anywhere without Him. He wants you to have your mind on Him. And as you have your mind on Him, you can have the hope of life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may be here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior yet, and maybe you're wondering, how can I get to know Him? I want to give you one verse. We memorized this as a church. Oh boy, it's got to be 7-8 years ago. It's Isaiah 33, verse 6. Some of you might remember it. He, talking about God, will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich door of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Folks, the key. He's given you the key. A reverential awe of God and who He is and what He's done. A remembrance of the things that Jesus Christ did while He was here and what He's promised to do in the future. It's the key to the abundant life. The abundant life doesn't mean you don't have trouble. The abundant life means when you hit trouble, you still have hope. You still believe God's working in me and He's going to do something for me in this. I don't understand why. I don't understand why Nancy's friend had the eye surgery and it went bad, and swelled all up. I don't know why, but God's up to something. And if you believe that, you have hope in the midst of all of our troubles. If God is for you, who can be against you? The answer is nobody. God's will is going to be done in your life, and all you have to do is by faith revere Him as your God and your Lord. He will be your help and your stay. Father, we're grateful for Your word. We're so grateful, Lord, for the promises found here in Psalm 121. Lord, bless us. Help us to trust You even when life seems to be dropping out on us. Even when everything seems to be against us, we still have the promise of God that you are our help and our stay. And we'll give you the praise in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.